लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Today we are going back to an actor, and we have directly a connection because he has a dog, I have a dog. So if you hear anything barking in the background, maybe it's one of our dogs who wants to talk also with us. And I'm very happy to have him. And I say hello to Evan Camacho. Welcome to my podcast.
Hey, Michaela. I'm glad to be on here.
What was the name of your dog again? I forgot.
Nero, N-E-R-O.
Nero, okay. So Nero joins him and Dion joins on my side. Mm-hmm. So we are four now at the moment. Did you ever took Nero with you on set?
No, because as much as I love him, I would normally let him explore, but I'd have to have him on a leash the whole time. Okay. And I feel guilty doing that, so I leave him.
No, because I saw some BTS sometimes where cats wear dogs on set and stuff there like that.
So funny story about that, and I was actually on that set yesterday. There's a set in Maywood that all vertical actors probably know. It's called Ideal Sets. There are stray cats there, but they're very kind, and they'll just come up to people, and you're allowed to pet them, and they're very nice, and they're very well behaved animals. So.
That's good. Yeah, because I love the verticals with dogs in it. Sorry, I'm a dog mom. And I really enjoy when you see dogs in the verticals.
Well, we get a few directors and a few producers will bring their dogs every once in a while, especially if they're really, really nice dogs. So every once in a while, you get to run into a few.
So maybe Nero can start also vertical career.
We'll
who knows?
Yeah, we'll see.
Who knows? Have you ever shot in Europe?
No, I want to so bad. I have heard such amazing experiences with Istanbul, Lithuania, London. I did a summer abroad in London when I was in my sophomore year of college. So,
Have you ever been in Germany?
Yes, I did. I went right afterwards. I did a tour around Europe, and I went through Berlin, which I need to go back to. It's such a beautiful city. And we stopped very, very briefly in Munich. And unfortunately,
at the Oktoberfest?
Yes, we were there during Oktoberfest.
Everyone who tells me I was in Munich, I have to ask, at the Oktoberfest? Yeah, at the Oktoberfest.
Yes, it was very crowded. It was very crowded, but we were only there for, less than 24 hours. That's why Berlin was more experience, but it was an absolutely beautiful city. And I really, really want to go back. The other one I hear that they're filming is Prague, which I've also been to. And Prague was
Prague filming in Prague.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hearing this for the first time. I know that they are filming also in Italy a lot.
Yes, I've also been to Italy. So,
you know, the funny part is Candy Jar has his place in Berlin, in Germany, but here in Germany, verticals are not very common.
It's weird though. You think Berlin in Germany would be a very, very good country for you guys. I've got all the castles.
Have great castles and really great landscapes. I live in the south of Germany, near to the border to Austria, Switzerland, Luxembourg, and France. And I'm living in the landscapes. And we in our town, there's a really great castle directly in the middle of the city. Directly. Beautiful. And I shot a movie in this castle with a French director. It was for the French television. We did a movie in this castle about a story which happened in the Second World War, exactly in this castle, because my hometown was the capital of France for 6 or 7 months in the Second World War.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing.
And a prisoner wrote a diary, and French, a very famous French director, did a movie about this with this diary as a script to tell all the stories that happened in this castle in the Second World War when the Vichy regime was placed there.
Right.
Yeah, so we have a very historic castle here in my hometown, but the landscapes are so beautiful.
Yes.
But in my family, even my sister or friends of mine, no one does know what verticals are. Since I'm doing this podcast, I'm getting a lot of messages from my friends. You have a new podcast, because I have another one since 4 years. You have a new podcast? Yes. What kind of, no, a childhood friend of mine who visited me 2 days ago, she said, what's this kind of movie, this vertical movie I never saw? And I said, no, that's not a movie. And I had to explain to her, and she said, oh, I haven't heard about it. And one of my cousins said also, Michaela, what is your podcast about? Should I know what verticals are? A little bit, but it's so unusual, verticals here in Germany. Really
interesting. Well, they are starting to become truly global now. So the fact that they're filming people, that they're flying people across the globe and from across the globe to film these is kind of insane.
Have you been in China filming?
No, I wish. I had a legitimate offer to go.
Yeah.
But due to scheduling conflicts, we had to drop it.
Shit.
I was devastated.
Oh, shit.
Truly devastated.
Oh, Vietnam, or where else they are filming?
Well, the other
Vancouver?
Popular spot, Vancouver. And I lived in Vancouver for a year. So for me, if I get envious of the actors and producers and directors who are able to go up there. Because again, for me, it would be like going home.
Yeah.
Before I came to LA, so
okay, so I got it. After this episode, we have to make an official announcement that we have to bring you anywhere else than LA.
Yes, bring me. I'll take New York. Ship me to New York. I haven't been in New York in 20 years. I would love to go to all places.
How many verticals have you done so far?
I'm at this point somewhere in like the mid to late 40s.
And all in LA?
All of them have been in LA, yes. And I am late to the game. I'm quite late to the game. I didn't start until, so the story of how I got into verticals is kind of funny, because the very first vertical that I ever did, it was in June of 2024.
But it was late.
I only did one day and it was a disaster. It was, I absolutely despised what I was dealing with. It was hot. It was up in an, it was, we were 10 feet away from a wasp's nest. I didn't really know exactly what was going on. So I kind of had to work through it. And they only paid us $50. And they took over a month to pay us.
$50 for one day?
For one day.
Holy shit.
The only good news is I wasn't there all day. I was there for like, I think for about 8 hours.
8 hours, $50?
Yeah,
come
eight
on.
Hours, $50. It was not fun. And so
How
I said,
How did you get this role?
I don't even honestly remember. I think I just got a, I think I got a message on Actors Access, or I got an email saying, hey, do you want to do this? Do this. And I was under the impression that it would be like, oh, this could be like a proof of concept. I didn't know what a vertical was. Mm-hmm. The thing that off though was how they were filming it, and I had been on enough professional, like, sorry, I don't want to use that word, not professional, like big sets before, because I used to do a lot of background, and I knew how to be on camera. I knew what they were filming, and they were filming the screens were filmed very strangely. I was like, what the heck is this? They're filming so weird. And then I kind of figured out over the course of a few months So I didn't do any of them after that for like 3 or 4 months.
So you thought, okay, this shit, no way, I do that.
I swore off it. I because that first experience was such a mess.
What kind of genre was your first one? A werewolf one or a classic one? CEO billionaire stuff?
No, this was actually a Western.
A Western?
And it didn't get released until like a year later. I don't even remember
the name. What was the title? I have to check. I have to check this because I badly want to see a Western one.
I kind of feel bad bad-mouthing a little of them too much, but at the time, it's like, I don't even remember who made it, to be perfectly honest. I don't remember who made it. I don't remember the name. I'm not going to name the cast. I know the cast, so I'm not going to name anything.
No, fine.
So I have to kind of keep my mouth shut on that one.
I'm waiting so badly for a great Western one.
Yes.
With a saloon style, a sheriff one, you know, maybe lasso, some horses.
Right. This was a female-led one, too. These were leading ladies. I did not meet the leading man at all. I don't even remember who it was.
You have pressured amnesia to forget this first one.
I didn't do anything after that for like 3 months. I auditioned for a few of them, and then I started realizing, like, okay, I know a lot of people who are starting to work them. I had met a few of the actors and actresses before they were vertical stars. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, well, they're working. It might be time to sort of jump into it.
Yeah.
And then I slowly started kind of working through background, worked through the day players. And then my first major supporting was about a year ago. It was in mid-November. Mid-November. And that was kind of my first major support. And I've kind of been coasting on support since then, really.
And after you did your second one, what were your thoughts then about this vertical stuff?
My thought was that it's like, okay, this is just very, very different from what I was used to. Because what I was used to when it comes to doing, when I would do background for like major productions and stuff like that, is they're slow. Like they take a lot of time and they don't do very much per day. They'll do maybe one, maybe two scenes a day unless they happen to be in a hurry. Whereas, and you would do 5-6 takes. If it was a movie, you'd maybe do maybe 3 or 4 if it was television, but you would shoot from every angle. And when I say every angle, I mean every angle. It could get incredibly tedious, waiting around and doing the same thing over and over and over again, especially if you had to do like audience scenes or crowd scenes, because you had to move the audience around. So just doing that was so slow. And then you get verticals where it's like you do maybe 2 takes. You have two, three. Sometimes I've heard now that they're even doing 4 cameras now. Someone just posted that they're doing 4 cameras. So they're able to shoot from every angle a lot quicker. Yeah. And it was like, oh, 2 takes and we're moving. You don't have time. when you're shooting 15 plus pages a day, you don't have time to do all that. You just have to go for it.
Yeah.
They'll maybe give I can take if someone messes up or very, very rarely have I seen, wait, can I do this a different way? I just want to try something real fast. And sometimes they'll say, just like, all right, fine, just make it quick.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, I think verticals live more in the shooting moment than horizontals did.
Yes, which actually brings up something in both the auditioning process and the acting process. When you're given a horizontal, you're supposed to analyze everything. You're supposed to live this character as if it were verticals. You don't have that kind of time.
Yeah.
You don't have time to do that. And you're jumping around so much. You have to be able to sort of, okay, I need to make a big choice right away. And that muscle gets honed a lot. You learn how to make these big, quick choices right away because you can't. It's like, well, maybe I should play this character a little more subtly or maybe a little more psychologically complex. It's like, you don't have time.
Do it.
You don't have time. You've got three takes to do a 2.5-page scene.
Yeah.
And it's more about connecting with your partner and being able to, or your scene partner, and really being able to deliver
a performance that is, I hate using the word organic, but
Yeah.
again, I don't like using that word because it is organic, but it's not organic in the way that is usually seen in films. And so my point being with that is that, okay, you've got two people and they're having a conversation. All they can do is listen and respond. And that's exactly what acting really is. It's listening and responding. What is your partner giving you? What is your, if you have multiple scene partners, what type of energy are they giving you? And so you react in the moment.
Do you like that?
I actually do enjoy that because I was a huge theater person. Like most of my training in college and a little bit after that was all theater. And theater, for all the rehearsal that you do, it's really on the day of that you have to make a performance. And you're allowed to, I hesitate to use the word improvise. You're allowed to switch things around and try stuff in the moment. And then it's up to the person to get a real reaction that responds back to it. So in a lot of ways, it is back to the theater world for me. And I love theater. I love theater a lot. It's fun.
Do you miss when you are loving theater? Do you miss sometimes the directly feedback you get in theater? You got
Yes.
directly the response of the audience, and now in verticals or filming stuff, you can read it maybe in reviews later, but the
Right.
directly feedback is missing.
Well, especially with theater comedy, because comedy on screen is tough because you have to keep trying stuff. You just have to try stuff a lot. Whereas in theater, if theater comedy, your whole goal is to make it silly sometimes. And if a joke doesn't land, you say, okay, that joke doesn't land. Let me see if this joke land. Or what happens a lot is you get a joke that you weren't something that you weren't expecting to be funny turns out to be really funny. I'm like, oh, let's play into that for next performance.
Yeah, and every day you get another feedback. On Monday, the audience is laughing at scene two, and on Tuesday, scene two is totally quiet in
Exactly.
the theater, and
Well,
scene four is
because
the hit.
I used to do a lot of musical theater, and
Oh, that's
sometimes
great.
you have those bad audiences that don't clap, don't cheer.
Yeah.
They're never silent, but sometimes you just get bad audiences,
I
and you
know.
can tell what depending on the day of the week that you are performing. It's like, okay, it's a Friday night. It's probably going to be a good audience. Let's get our A game. Let's like really be on our A game there. And then the same thing with like a Saturday. Whereas like a Sunday matinee, it's like, okay, it's there. Let's always do our absolute best. But sometimes the audiences are just not as good.
Yeah, it's true. And maybe
But
that happens also on verticals, but there you didn't get this directly feedback if the audience isn't so good. So,
the
because
few times.
I think you don't read, you can read a lot of reviews on Instagram, but never a really bad review. Because mostly I know, and I talk to fans and the big reviewers, mostly they only review until they have a kind of scale, and if the vertical is under this scale, they won't review it.
Yes, which I understand. And also, there are what happens in verticals, especially now, is you get verticals that's like, okay, the acting is good, the story is good, but sometimes the content is really not very good. Like
Oh, yes.
so then what you get, in my opinion, you get these hilariously sort of polarizing reviews where it was like, I loved their chemistry, I loved their performance, but there were a few scenes that were like, oh my God, was that really necessary? Was that really necessary? Or certain scenes just drag forever and you're just kind of like, can we move on a little bit, guys?
I'm doing every month a monthly recap episode for the podcast with the six big review ladies.
Oh,
And we are
yes.
speaking open and honest about the vertical of the month, the crap of the month. Yeah, because to be honest, for example, in the September recap version, September was a really shit story month. You cannot
Really?
say it otherwise. Yeah. A lot of our seven ladies in total, mostly every one of us switched off nearly 10 verticals till the end. We are not
Wow.
finished watching it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's insane.
Yeah. And I can say we are trying to watch till the end, but sometimes you fell asleep or it's such a shit story that you cannot watch it till the end and you have to drop off.
Yes. Given the sheer amount of verticals that are out there now, of which I think there are, God, there must be 30, 40 different apps now.
Somewhere. On my smartphone, since yesterday, there are 52 apps.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I saw a few ads on Instagram for really interesting looking shows, but they are all on new platforms.
Well, funny you mentioned that, which is something that I'm trying to, that I would love to sort of pioneer in the fact, and I think a lot of other actors and producers are trying to do this, is that, look, we've got the CEOs, we've got the billionaires, we've got the mafia, we've got the werewolves. We're very slowly bringing back the vampires.
Yeah.
There is a desire. I know that there is a genuine desire for something new.
Yeah.
The issue with that is that you can't do that on the big apps. You can't do that on Real
Exactly.
Short. Because the numbers are too mainstream. If
they're
not
going to willing to take the risk, the big ones.
Right. They're not willing to take the risk because the numbers don't support it. And they can't because they're essentially, it's essentially trying to, how do I put this? It'd be like on a sports team, bringing in a new person, two games before the end of the season, mm-hmm. even though they're amazing. It's like, well, yeah, they're amazing, but they're not going to get any attention because they haven't been there long enough. They just don't have enough traction. Whereas with these new ones, if you want to do experimental verticals or projects or try a new subject, you have to go to kind of the outliers because they'll not only take it, they'll then push it a lot harder.
Yeah.
That's what they want to make their mark.
For example, in our monthly review recaps, we are also speaking about of the app of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And on every recap episode so far, it was Candy Jar every month.
Jar is very good. I don't remember if I've worked for them. I've auditioned for them a lot.
Because Candy Jar has a lot of new storylines.
Yes.
And like V-Glue. V-Glue and Candy Jar are two really great apps. For example, a yearly membership on Candy Jar is about 70 euros for me.
Okay, so that's about 100.
A yearly membership of Real Short is 230 euros.
Woo. Jesus.
Also Drama Box.
Yes.
There is a weekly membership, 25 euros. That's
wow.
More than a Netflix abo in month.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing is, okay, Real Short and Drama Box are dropping lately a lot of shows.
Yes.
But for example, and we spoke about that in our September recap, Real Short dropped in September, I think, round about 7-6 shows per week.
Oof.
And so many crap and shitty ones. Really, the quantity was not good for the quality they dropped. And Candy Jar and Wiglu, for example, drop less.
Mm-hmm.
But every time, really great quality in story.
Yes.
And in the production.
That's not only what I've heard, but what I'm also a huge fan of. And to use not a vertical, but another production as an example, is Disney with Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
If you can believe this, they used to drop only one movie a year. When they were first starting out. And even then, even when they first, the most they ever did pre-Avengers Endgame, if my math is correct, I think was 3. That's the most they ever did in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now, post-Endgame, they are cranking out shows, they are cranking out, they're trying to get movies done in a year. They were trying to do that for a long time. They were basically trying to do 2 or 3 movies a year, 1 or 2 shows a year. So they were trying to really crank stuff out. and the quality was noticeably less. So it is, there is a very fine balance between demand and quality. And I think Viglu Candy Jar, Flare Flow is another one that they've also seem to have done very well. Very well. I've worked with Flare Flow.
Also Drama Pops, the Turkish Drama production.
I haven't had the pleasure.
Drama Pops, they are mostly the Turkish produced verticals.
Sadly, I've never been able to work to you, but please.
No, and there is the quality so good in sound, in filming, in directing, everything.
Every actor that I've talked to who has worked with Viglu, has worked with Candy Jar, and has worked with Drama Pops are like, they are genuinely proud of the product that gets made.
Yeah.
Because it is treated not as content, but as an actual production.
Yeah.
And that's really what you want is that, yeah, we used to live in the age of the franchise. Now we live in the age of content. Well, I had a thought process that was very, so Star Wars, for example, back when George Lucas was making it, it was 3 years every time there was a new movie.
Mm-hmm.
When Disney took over, they tried to crank out a new movie every single year.
Yeah.
The problem with that is that let the audience crave it a little bit. Let them sit with it. Let them want it more.
Yeah.
Because that will make them, and it's like, no, they won't be bored. The audience will not be bored if you wait a little bit longer. They'll actually want it more. It'll be a special occasion.
It's exactly the same with the Harry Potter movies.
The Harry Potter movies were exactly the same, where it's like, no, let the audience crave the anticipation. Let them know something good is coming. And going to deliver it to you.
Yeah, exactly. And for example, I spoke with Danny Farber, who was directing in Istanbul. And I asked him, what's the difference between directing in Istanbul? And he said, the crew members in Turkey, for example, there are more crew members.
Mm-hmm.
And they are a bit more caring.
Mm-hmm.
So when they finish shooting, they are like a big family. They are going together for lunch or together mm-hmm. for dinner. And they are really living like a big family this 10 days or how long they are shooting. And he said it's kind of more motivating for all of the crew members, of the actors, of the directors, stuff like that. So it's more like they all want to get together a really great product in the end.
Well, whereas you in the US, it's a funny thing because there are so many filming in the US. So in theory, there's no shortage of jobs. The problem is that it's two big problems is pay. I don't want to get into that, but the pay is always a contentious subject.
Yeah,
and always has been. The other one is that, okay, well, you finished one. Okay, now you got to do it. Now you got to do another one. You don't get a day off sometimes. Sometimes these crews don't get a day off. They just jump right to the next one. And then half their crew is off doing pre-production for another one. So they have to round about, get everyone back for that one. So like you don't get a lot of rest sometimes.
No.
It's just go, 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 go. Because that's the other thing too, is that the apps or the platforms are like, no, we want another, we got to get those six, seven a week. We got to get them, got to come out. We got to make them.
But to be honest, the audience, if you can see, they are dropping per week. So many platforms dropping new shows. So round about every week, there are dropping at the moment round about 40 or 50 new shows on all the platforms together. I cannot watch 40 or 50 verticals per week.
Ridiculous.
So why don't they say, okay, let's slow a bit down in speeding and producing and make the quality better? I don't understand it.
One huge attitude and Disney was kind of the perpetrator. It was kind of the first master of this, which was, okay, we found something that works. Let's crank out more of it. Let's not try to make the better quality or make something different. Let's just crank it out because it's less effort. We don't have to pay as much. It's all about getting it out quickly, which again lowers the quality and also makes the crew members a lot more tired, a lot more resentful. So that is something that, and unfortunately, a very dark attitude is, if you won't do it, we'll find someone else who will.
I know, but that's not only in the film business. It's
No,
also in
that's
other.
everything.
It's in every branch you can work. I spoke, for example, with a script supervisor for an episode that was really interesting for me because I didn't get what the job of a script supervisor is on a Vertical. And she told me, yeah, sometimes she has to, because of no day between two productions, she has to prepare already for the next Vertical, but being up to date for the actual Vertical. And I asked her, how can you do this to not mix up and get a bit of woohoo, I have to stay clear in my head. And she said, yeah, sometimes it's really stressful. She was lucky that she could sleep very well, but I think otherwise you cannot sleep very well because your head is so full.
A lot of I have been on sets where if the actors get a brief few moments, they're sleeping because they're so tired and there's so much and even the leads, sometimes the leads who have so much dialogue to learn, not a lot of time to really do it because they don't necessarily know what day what the what scene they're going to do that day. They know. They get advanced, they get like advanced schedules, but things change. Things change all the time. So it's like, okay, nope, we have to move this scene here because of whatever reason. Because of whatever reason, the client doesn't want it. Weather has been an issue lately, just because it's raining in LA. When it rains in LA, everything gets ruined. Ruined. Or it's like, okay, we have to get these scenes done before sundown, which means we only have 6 hours of daylight, so we have to hurry. We have to get these scenes done, or we have to set up lights.
So the pressure is really high, isn't it?
So the pressure gets high. And sometimes, honestly, when you need those 10, 15 minutes of peace, you just knock yourself out. You knock yourself
Respect for
out.
everyone who can do that. I'm such
Yes.
a bad sleeper. I'm totally a bad sleeper.
I was
I
on
would
one.
never can do that.
I was on one over the summer. It was 4 days, and you probably talk to actors who talk about the dreaded auction or banquet scenes.
Oh yes, a lot.
This was 50 pages, 50 pages, and if they were moving the cameras or moving the lights around, or if you just happened to not be in that particular section at the moment, they were on the couch sleeping. They were so tired. They were just so tired. And I'm not throwing shade at them. It's just that was what it was like. We were just so exhausted. Standing on your feet for 12 hours in fancy clothes.
In the heat.
Yes, this was also during the summer. It was air conditioned, but not by much, just because it was so freaking hot. This was in like the middle of July.
That's kind of shit. Yeah, and sometimes I see in some stories of some actors and actresses, they, I don't know, 42 in a row, and I think, what the heck?
A lot of them will
40.
do many days in a row. There is no rest.
What's your maximum you want to do in a row?
My record, and mind you, I had to shoot a feature in the middle of this, was I basically 16 days nonstop.
16.
Yeah, I did 16 days in a row nonstop. Because fortunately for me, because I am not, fortunately or unfortunately, I don't play leads. The closest I've ever gotten was a co-lead.
Don't you want to play lead,
Of
or
course I want to play. Of course I want to play
did not
leads,
happen?
but the slight advantage of working supporting roles is that you're not always needed every day. So you get your, or better yet, some of my favorite days are the ones where I'm only in one scene. I come in, I do my scene, and I'm gone a few hours later. So I actually get to rest.
Yeah.
Rest. But I would give so much more to be a lead because I know I can do it. This stuff is, I thrive under that. I thrive under being able to do that because to me, it's fun. You get to pretend to be stuff.
Do you miss the theater?
Of course. I finally made my return to theater this summer, and I hadn't done theater in years, and it was Shakespeare. It was Romeo and Juliet, and I played the prince.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, wow. So this is what it feels like. I haven't had this feeling in, God, 6 or 7 years.
And what attracts you to do verticals?
A combination of, it is basically back to theater, and it's honestly, it is a chance to act because there's not a lot of jobs right now, and few jobs that generally are being done mostly by a lot of Nepo babies, and so it's a chance to act, even if sometimes what you're saying is ridiculous. Like I came up with the idea that what verticals are, in a lot of ways, verticals are modern Shakespeare, where in two ways, which is when Shakespeare was actually making these plays, he basically made them to make money. He made the comedies to make money. That's why they're all the same. That's why all of Shakespeare's comedies are more or less the same. Same. It was just the audience needed something to entertain them. And in also another way is sometimes you're saying some very ridiculous things, but if it makes sense to you, the actor, it will make sense to the audience. And that's the challenge. You have to do something that you have to make something that sounds nonsensical sometimes and make it make sense. That is your job.
Yeah, and sometimes you feel exactly which script was AI translated because none of the sentences make sense.
Well, which is funny you mentioned the translation aspect, because again, they write the scripts in Chinese and they translate them to English. And unfortunately, Chinese to English doesn't translate very well.
Yeah.
Very well. So sometimes my favorite example of that was on one where the line was, "Oh, honey, you can't possibly be doing that. You have 12 nails in your leg." Like it was a medical thing. And I'm like, okay. It's screws in your leg. Because if you have a nail in your leg, that's a medical problem. But if you have a screw in your leg, that means you have metal plates there. Metal plates there. So it's like, it's not necessarily technically wrong, but it's not the right word. or what you get these sentences that are like, okay, hold on. We can simplify this, or we can move a few words around to make it make sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense. It's not that huge change. Or my favorite are the ones that are like, if it was translated into like one of the romantic languages, England, Spanish or French, where it's like, you look at the sentence structure, it's like, wait a minute, that sentence structure is if it was written in French or Spanish. So it's not wrong, but it's just weird.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes they are synchronized and with the German subtitles also verticals.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, so bad.
Yes, it can be amusing sometimes. They're like, wait a minute, can I change this? And there are horror stories of directors or clients who are like, no, this has to be absolutely word perfect. This is how it was written. And you just have to go, okay, I will say it.
I will say this shit.
I will say it. I will try to make as much sense as I possibly can.
What was the most challenging role for you so far in vertical?
See, the problem is that I haven't had a challenging role. I've had things that I want to do. That's the thing.
Okay, let me ask another way. What would be a challenging role for you want to play?
I mean, put bluntly, I would love to play a lead, but I think the one that I would love to play the most would be, I would love to be something supernatural, or I would love to be the cold-hearted billionaire, because that's not me in real life. I'm very altruistic. I'm like, no, let me help you. The hardest one, honestly, the hardest challenge would be anything that has to be abusing women or hurting children. anything that involves that kind of darker side.
Would you do that?
Not in real life.
Yeah, but some actors and actresses told me that they decline scripts where they have to abuse other people.
Mm-hmm. Here's the deal. I would do that type of role if the character was not supposed to be likable. Like if the character was meant to be very flawed at best, then I would do it. But if it's just abuse for the sake of abuse, and I have done, so in terms of challenge, I had to be the assistant of a character that was very violent, very angry all the time, to the point where, I mean, we kidnapped his love interest, his wife's brother, and we break his kneecaps. So it was a very dark role. It was probably one of the I'm not going to name names, but it was probably one of the darkest leads I've ever seen. And I was his assistant.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was probably, and that was my first major support. That was actually my first major supporting role. So that's the thing, is that if it comes to like abusing women or kidnapping or hurting or simulating that you're going to hurt children, it's like, okay, am I the villain? Because if I'm the villain, great. Please, please. If I'm supposed to be this despicable monster, by all means.
Let me be bad.
Right, let me be bad. But if I'm supposed to be a romantic person, and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm abusing women? This is a bit weird.
Yeah. Lately, there are a lot of stories like that.
There are a lot of stories like that. The one place I'd actually be a little bit curious, I think that actually this would be a challenge for me. Anything involving BDSM,
mm-hmm.
anything involving BDSM, because my experience with that is not very high. Excuse me. So it would be actually a cool way to sort of explore that. To sort of explore that lifestyle and sort of be that 50 Shades of Grey kind of thing. And it would be something that's like, okay, I'll try it. Let me try it.
Yeah.
Right. But if I don't like it, it's like, that way I can honestly say it's like, I've tried that role.
Yeah,
It's not for me. Or I can say, hey, I've tried that role. I'm happy to do it again.
A lot of the audience don't like the BDSM stuff.
It's because the BDSM is not done in a... That's also the other thing. So I have slight TMI, but one of my exes was very involved in the BDSM community. The thing with BDSM is that it's not about the abuse. It's more about like the control aspect. So, and I think they're harping a little bit too much on the violent aspect, which is not, that's not the point.
Why don't they get an expert of BDSM on set, like an intimacy coordinator?
Because that would cost money that they don't want to spend.
Yeah, but that's exactly the thing, you know? So that's a small point of lacking quality. Mm-hmm. It's exactly the same when you see some hospital scenes,
yes,
where they get reanimated and defibrillated over the clothes.
Right, it doesn't. It's like that doesn't work. That it doesn't actually work like that. The other ones, my personal favorite are like surrogacy and like freezing your eggs and stuff like that. It's like, first of all, it's a very, not only is it a risky process, it doesn't work half the time. It really is not, like, you're lucky if it works.
The next thing is they get a surgery. 2 days later, they are out of hospital without any scar.
Right. It's like, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. If you get surgery like that, you're on hold for weeks at a time.
I had a brain surgery.
So
in many verticals were themed. I was here completely less of hairs. I have here a big scarf with, in total, it was nearly 30 stitches. And they have nothing.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, I remember there's an episode of Gen V where we find out one of the characters had a very serious brain injury, and she just covers it with a wig. And I'm like, okay, that works. Like that works. Thank you. At least they explain it away that way. But you're right. A lot of stuff in terms of realism when it comes to verticals is completely
ridiculous. You know, there are small things you can fix this.
Mm-hmm.
But I ask, for example, the intimacy coordinator, why they are not doing the defibrillator directly on the skin. And she said, the problem is that when it's for women, it's near the breast.
They have to get covered.
Yes. And they have to get special permissions to do that here. And if it's a bit more skin or maybe shirtless on a man one, they need kind of special more permissions and more papers to do. So she told me sometimes it's easier to do it directly on the shirt because it's less of bureaucracy.
If you actually tried to do that, I think you'd either set your clothes on fire or you might actually like kill the person. Like
you
if
you kill tried to it. Do you kill him.
Yeah, but yeah, that's that, there's a lot of stuff in verticals. You have to sort of throw out your sense of suspending disbelief, as the saying goes.
It's the same when you see some scenes, and only the angle changes. And in one scene, the tie was blue. In the next scene, the tie was red.
The one of my favorite YouTube channels is called The Insider. They'll bring on experts of certain subjects, and they'll have them watch movies, TV, stuff like that, and they'll rate how accurate something is.
Okay, okay.
And it's fascinating to me because, again, it's stuff that's like, okay, I don't know about this stuff. I'm very curious. Like, they have spy ones. They've got various different types of animal experts that'll bring them on. They have survivalists. They have, like, former gangsters, they have former double agents, stuff like that. So it's really, really interesting learning about that. And then you sort of realize it's like, wait a minute, if you actually made things realistic, it's actually more interesting. That's the funny part.
That's
why I've always laughed at it. Because the funny thing, I love Mark Twain said this, and I don't remember where he got it from, but he said this. It says, the hardest part about fiction versus reality is fiction has to make sense. Reality doesn't. Reality doesn't make sense sometimes. Sometimes there are some very weird things that happen in real life that are like, no, that actually really happened, or that actually would really happen.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, lately there were a lot of cooking verticals. It's exactly the same.
I was in a cooking vertical one, actually. I was in a chef one. That was my biggest role yet.
Could you use the knife correctly?
No. They didn't even give, they did not give me a real knife. The knife that they gave me was blunt.
Which one was the cooking one you were in?
It's called Return of the Hidden Chef Goddess. Kirby Elwood is the leading lady.
I saw this one.
That's my biggest role I've ever done, where I was on the side of the good guys, but I was not a good guy. I was basically yelling nonstop. I was yelling every day for 6 days. That's how long I was on.
And then your voice went gone.
My voice actually did suffer a little bit during one of the days. I think it was on like day four. And I'm like, okay, I actually have to be careful how much I'm yelling because I am starting to lose my voice a bit.
Some of the cooking verticals are so silly when you see exactly that they don't even know how to use a knife correctly.
The other
and then
big
they, one, they are chefs.
The other big ones is when they handle guns. Is two things, handling guns. The other one, and the reason I'll share why I know this in a minute, but if anything, they have to do any like dance ones, like if they have to be strippers or like call girls or something like that. When you're on the pole and you don't know what you're doing, it's very hard to fake it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is that is something where if you know they can't do it, it's very obvious. And one of the reasons I know that is because I have friends who are dancers.
Yeah.
Just the way that they act on the pole is very, very different. And so that is something that it's like, okay, you can't teach that in an hour. You have to like know what you're doing.
It's the same with the sporty verticals. Can see with when they are football verticals and the lead or they don't know how to catch a ball correctly.
Well, a lot of leading guys, apparently they know how to, they've been doing a lot of hockey ones. And I guess
hockey, football and tennis ones were recently.
I know a guy yesterday, I was working with him. He got an offer
to be a tennis body double, but he couldn't do it because of scheduling for these verticals. And it's like, yeah, it's very, tennis is not an easy thing to fake.
No, for example, you need the muscles in the arm that it looks really easy peasy and slightly.
I was just on one that was fencing. And I was an actual fencer. I actually knew what it was. And they were able to make it pretty convincing.
Okay. Convincing.
But the girl who's, they chose a very small lead. And the thing was, and then she thought, oh, you're just using your arm. It's like, no, it's not. You have to use your whole body into it. Into it. And those foils are not light. They look light, but they're not.
Yeah.
So actually using them and knowing what you're doing is not easy. Also, fencing is a lot of back and forth. It's not a very exciting sport per se, which is kind of hilarious.
I
could have totally used, I don't like Epe. That's why. Because Epe the matches are over in like 3 seconds.
I like to watch it. You know, that's kind of, I like to watch the Olympic Games because
there's
so many different sport variation and types you are not normally used to watch or something like that. And there are a lot of interesting sports I really like to watch at the Olympic Games.
Oh, yeah. Well, the other sporting ones, swimming. I was a swimmer for 13 years, and I'm like, I know when they're using the double because it's how they move in the water is completely different.
So you want to do a sportive vertical?
I would love to do a sporting one. I would love to do another fencing one. I would love to do a fencing one. I'd like to do a boxing one. I used to box for a while. Like I taught it as a workout. That was my, that was my thing for a while. I would love to do a swimming one because I swam from when I was five until I finished high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I know all of that. It would be like,
okay. So you need a sportive one overseas.
Yes.
That would be the best match for you.
Yeah. Please give me a fence. There was one I heard. It was filmed in Istanbul and it was a fencing one. I can't remember. I think it was Scoring My Sexy Coach. Don't quote me. So feel free to correct me, everyone. Anyone who's listening, please feel free to correct me. I don't know if that's 100% accurate. I don't think it is, but someone correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, sometimes I'm wondering, you know, there are so many actors. Some of them are really great in singing or in dancing or, as you said, in some type of sports. Why don't they use them for this kind of roles?
I got asked once, like, weighing your thoughts about casting? Because I don't want to rattle the boat, I'm only going to say two things about casting. One, there's a lot more politics involved than I wish there was.
Okay.
And the second, the best way to get cast is be exactly what they're looking for at exactly the right time.
So it's kind of faith also?
Fate, luck, branding, who do you know, who knows you?
Connections.
Are you available? Is your rate low enough that they can afford you? Is your rate high enough that they're willing to invest in you? Do you have the right traveling passports? Has the leading lady or the leading male worked with you before, knows you? Is the director familiar with your work? There are so many factors that go into it that if you have to ask the question of like, okay, why don't they use it? There's probably half a dozen reasons.
Okay.
They honestly can be as simple as they wanted to use this actor, but their schedule wasn't available. They just weren't able to meet the schedule. No, that actually happens a lot. That does happen a lot where it's like, okay, well, we need you for these dates. It's like, I'm not available for these 3 dates, so I can't do it. Or even they're available. It's like, well, okay, I'm not available for that 1 day. Can you move it around a little bit? And sometimes they'll say yes.
Okay. Then it's
sometimes
good.
They'll say yes. Again, like I said, to answer your question, there's a lot of different factors. actors. And sometimes it really is as simple as scheduling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping now for really great Christmas verticals. And for the next year, I'm really hoping for some kind of new and fresh storylines.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for with my stuff, is that I am hoping to integrate my own creations into the vertical world, because right now I'm designing my own IP for new superheroes. I kind of thought to myself a few months ago, I'm like, well, why don't I just turn some of these into verticals? They don't have to be super high tech or high budget. There are ways to make compelling stories. You just add that little spin to it. And that kind of became my attitude, which is, okay, we've seen the story 10, 15, 20, 20,000 times. Why don't we just throw a little extra spice on there? Let's just make it a little, just change the flavor a bit.
Yeah.
Add an X factor.
That would be totally fine. But right. I started watching Verticals at the end of 2023. And for the early audience, after 1 year or 1.5 years, the stories repeat so many times. I can tell you, in I would say 80% of the verticals after 5 episodes, how this shit is going on and will end.
Which, and the other thing too, is that a lot of actors are like that too. They want, you can hear it in their voice or even in their mannerism sometimes, where they're, it's like, oh, you booked another one. And they're like, yep, it's another mafia. It's, they don't say it out loud, obviously. No one says it out loud, but you can kind of hear it in their energy. How it's like, I've done this before. I want something a little new. I want something to be different.
Yeah.
Different. And I think the audience craves something different.
Oh, yes. We need something new. That's why I love Igloo and Candy Jar, because they are trying something new. You know, it's kind of refreshing.
Were you able to catch, it was on Tall Flicks. Were you able to catch Game of Choice?
Yes.
Basically, Squid Games won. I mean, that is what verticals could be. Like, really what they could be. I was only on it for 1 day. I was only on it for one afternoon, but apparently I think they were filming for almost 2 weeks. And so, but look at what they made.
Yeah.
Look at what they made in those two.
Absolutely amazing.
But it was so hard to sell because, again, you get the enemy of progress, which is numbers that don't budge because they're so inflated. They're so oversaturated.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the same, you know, for example, with the Campus Rival one.
Right.
On Vigloo.
Right.
Or the Love and Blood stuff. But the Love and Blood stuff was the Love problem.
What I heard with Love and Blood, it took them about a year. I think it almost took them a year to sell it.
Yeah, and then they sold it to Real Short. I was surprised that Real Short bought it, but
I
Real Short
too.
Didn't promote it.
No, because they didn't.
Because they promote only their own produced stuff.
Right, right.
And well, when again, you're looking now, the number of Love and Blood, I don't know if it already hit the 8 million or not. There are not so many views on it, because the only one who promoted nothing. It was Eric and the whole crew stuff themselves. Real Short didn't promote it.
Right. It was, and that is that's a technique in filmmaking. You actually hear about it. If you ever watched the TV show called The Studio, they call it buy it in sync.
Yeah.
They literally will buy scripts or they'll buy projects and deliberately not make them do well, because it's either not theirs or it's something that is like, okay, well, this could do very well, but we have to invest in it. And if we invest in it, the money's not going to come back to us.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to claim that I know what was going on there. I could be totally wrong, but I wonder if that's kind of what happened.
I wonder
if Love and Blood could have done better, should have done better, quite frankly, if it had been sold to a different, if it had been sold to like.
To be honest, I thought Vigla would buy it after they already bought Campus Rivals. I thought that Vigla would be open to buy it.
Do you remember what came out first? Was it Campus Rivals or Love and Blood that came
out? No, Campus Rivals came out first.
I thought so. Well, Campus Rivals was sold pretty quickly, from what I was aware. I only have what I've seen online in my few conversations, either with Adam or Eric. And so, yeah, like I said, the fact that Love and Blood took about a year to get sold is strange to me.
And it was really great produced.
It was. Slightly to my regret, I missed the premiere. I was 7,000 miles away on vacation.
Oh, no, no, that's, you know, it was not less quality produced. It was,
no.
And it was kind of such a fresh story.
Right.
But I'm sure it would have done better on another platform.
It probably would have done better. I mean, Flare Flow, probably could have done some wonders with it. Could have done pretty well.
I'm
with
not
it.
Sure if Flare Flow was already so
it
big.
Wasn't that thing. It wasn't what it was. It was still, in fact, it might not even have existed at the time yet.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
They might have just missed it.
Yeah.
One of those tragic cases of, like, you just missed the opportunity. But
I was really happy that Tall Flicks get Game of Choice and not Real Shot, to be honest.
Again, don't quote me on this. From what I was aware of, and mind you, I'm only tangentially on the very outskirts. From what I was told, they were really trying to sell it to Real Short.
Yeah.
And Real Short just would not take it.
Yeah. But to be honest, I'm not sure if it would have been good on Real Short.
It would have done the same thing. It would have come in and it would have sunk.
Yeah. Like Love sucked. And Blood did, yeah. And now with Tall Flicks, and they had the big premiere on the Halloween evening and stuff like that.
I went to that premiere because I was in the movie. I was in that one very briefly. So,
okay.
Ironically, I played a German doctor.
A German? You played a German? Do you speak one German word?
Wunderbar.
That's important. Wunderbar is important.
This was my lie. I said, number 28 has been out for 2 days. I say we just get rid of her.
To be honest, I couldn't watch Game of Thrones before going to bed.
Oh.
I was really shocked how evil some actors can play.
Oh, absolutely. 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 And a shout out for Game of Choice. I mean, Felix Mirbeck, he was my first werewolf one. This was like in the beginning. This was in January of this year. Uh-huh. And I was his beta. So that's how I met him.
Yeah.
That was really the one where I'm like, I knew that he was a good actor, but then he went to like, oh my God, this guy can act.
Yeah, we did in the October recap, we gave him a monthly award for this fantastic acting.
That character and his performance, without exaggeration, is the greatest performance that a vertical has ever seen.
Yeah, absolutely. By leaps and bounds,
he took a character that I think was already written quite well, but then you just blew it out of the water.
He lived this character totally. Right. No,
I cannot praise this character enough because also, and again, it's a good example. This character is very different, is very interesting. And that's what actors really crave, is that if you get a character that's already interesting and you get an actor who's good, they just take it to another level. They just take it to an other level. And this is a man where I want to be very, very clear. He is the embodiment of the phrase, separate the art from the artist.
Mm.
Kevin Spacey, one of the greatest actors of all time. Horrible human being. But you have to admit, his performances in some of his roles were just...
Some are born to act.
Yeah. And he's...
You cannot learn it in that way. It has to be...
My biggest acting lesson that I ever got was I was doing background on a TV show. It was called The Sympathizer. It's on HBO. Robert Downey Jr. Mm-hmm. is in every episode, but he plays a different character in every single episode. I was background on that show for 2 weeks straight.
Okay.
Watching Robert Downey Jr. act. The times I was able to get close and I was just able to, I was in the scene, I was able to watch him work, was such an eye opener, because I've never seen an actor who is so fearlessly at ease with what he's doing. He would make, he wouldn't go by the script word for word. He would change it every time, but every single line that he said, and mind you, the other actor said exactly the same thing each time. Every single time, Robert was able to make it work. What he said made sense. He was able to make the line in front of the line before him and the line after him make absolute sense.
No, never seen. That's not so easy. Yeah,
you can't. Here's the deal: you could learn that. But it's just, you have to be, if you're going to train like that, that's a lifetime of training. That's a lifetime of experience, or you're just born with it.
Yeah, I think and you have to be born with it.
Right. And bless those souls who happen to be born with it. I am not born with it. I know that for a fact. I have to train, but yeah. I enjoy training.
Yeah. No, and I think Felix has kind of be born to act. Because mm-hmm. he played so many different roles, from the lovey-dovey right. husband to mm-hmm. this totally extreme now in Game of Choice and stuff like that.
Right.
He totally blew me away with his performance.
Mm-hmm. And I think that for me, as an actor, like that type of character for me, I would love to play a character like that.
Mm.
Like I would love to be able to say... Essentially, the director just says, Evan, do your thing. And I'm like, with pleasure. let me be what I really want to be, which is completely free.
Yeah. Yeah, so that would be maybe next year.
Well, that's the thing. And I say that to my fellow directors, fellow actors, like, let's create characters like that. Let's create these characters that are unique, that are fun, that are yeah. challenging in the sense of like, look, especially the male leads, not a lot of emotion really in a lot of them. Let's give them some emotion. Let's make them vulnerable. Let's make them funny. Let's make them scary. There are some great actors who I think can lean into their natural sort of, not just charisma, but just, some of them have a very natural look that they can use. It's like, okay, what if we just tweak it a little bit, make them a little scarier, make them a little funnier, make them a little more vulnerable.
Not always so dominant.
The dominance is one thing. It's again, give them some layers. Give them some layers. They don't have to be one emotion the entire shoot.
Yeah, yeah, that's correct. That's correct. We will see what happens in the future.
We're getting to the point where
other things we wait and hope.
Well, we're getting to the point now where the actors themselves are getting enough clout. They're even getting enough money. So a lot of them are able to do it themselves. Like a lot of them are able to kind of figure out how to do it themselves. Mm. So and even the production companies kind of want to do something a little different. So that desire to do more is there. It just has to be harnessed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. We will see.
We will.
Even at the end of every episode, I'm asking a 5-question quickie to everyone. Okay. So yes. The first question is, what's your favorite dish to eat?
Pizza.
What kind of pizza?
Pepperoni. Very simple.
Okay. Okay. Pizza question. Pineapples on the pizza? Yes or no?
No.
Thank you. Ah. That's definitely a plus for you.
Thank you. whoever came up with that, I'm not denying that what you did was smart, but just
Yeah, I totally don't understand it. How you can put pineapples on pizza? Come on. No, definitely, simply no.
No.
No. What's your favorite film at the moment, or all-time classic one you love to watch?
Like, my comfort movies are the Lord of the Rings trilogy, because those came out when I was young.
I've never seen it.
Oh my goodness, you need to.
At this point,
they are a part of cinema history.
I've never seen Lord of the Rings. I've never seen Game of Thrones. I've never seen any Star Wars one.
Man, you need to see those. Well, because they're part of culture. Now they're a part of the culture itself. Gotta watch it.
I was told this a few times.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
then
okay.
Get on it.
Okay, maybe I have to create a to-watch list.
Well, in fairness, a few Game of Thrones seasons have native German actors in them, so they bring in some people from there. So maybe there's some actors and celebrities you might remember, you might recognize.
Maybe. And I'm not that type of big movie watcher, film watcher.
Yeah.
I'm more the serious junkie, man.
Okay.
Yeah. What's your favorite song? What puts you in a good mood?
And I have this on my Get to Know Evan page, which is the I'm Still Standing by Elton John.
Oh yes, I love this song. I love this song. You know, mm-hmm. I used this song for an Instagram post lately at the podcast Instagram profile, because mm-hmm. on the 1st of October it was 18 years. No, mm-hmm. wait. 2008, no, 70 years back since my head surgery.
Oh.
And my head surgery was, I totally got memory losses. I got all the vertical drama stuff in this episode, but for real. And since that day, because I survived the surgery, this song mm-hmm. keeps me company.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And that's why I'm used this song. I really love it. And did you saw the movie of Elton John?
I did, yes. I did,
I
yes.
love this he one. It was so
it
great.
Alley, so it was great.
Rocketman. That was really great one.
Yeah, I was holding on for so long. I'm like, when are we going to get I'm Still Standing? Because it's such a fantastic song. And the fact that we got it as the finale was perfect. And he was able to reenact some of the music video. So I was like, fantastic.
And you can sing so many songs along with that. It all was also with the Bohemian Rhapsody movie, with all the Queen songs.
I didn't know as much about Freddie Mercury as I did about mm-hmm. Elton John. Sort of introduction.
Yeah, I loved this because of all the Queen songs.
That too.
That was really nice. That was really nice. Next question. Mm-hmm. If I would come to you and say, Evan, listen, I want to start watching Verticals. Which one of yours should I definitely have watched?
There's a couple. The Return of the Hidden Chef Goddess, just because that's one that I'm in a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is called, I need to make sure I get this name right, so I might have to change it. I think it's called the Billionaire Hidden Surrogate. I can't remember whether that's the exact name. It stars Adam Santa Cruz and Alexa Reddy. And the reason why that one's so fun is because I got to play this sort of sociopathic comedy character.
Okay.
So it was dark comedy where I'm friends with the protagonist and I'm a cheerful guy, but I'm also this really shady, like, headmaster. Like, I'm the slime who's pimping out his students to get funding.
Do you know which platform it was?
It was, I believe it was Playlet. Actually, okay. both of them I think are Playlet.
Mm-hmm.
I need to double check. There's another one, the Billionaire Alpha Surrogate, which is Nick Radico, also Alexa Reddy. That's where I get to play an unambiguous good guy. And that is on Flareflow.
Okay.
Yes, that's
So
on Flare.
this the top three of
Yes,
yours.
those are probably the top. Those are probably the top three. Three,
And
and again,
last,
and if
yeah.
you want game of choice, by the way, I'm in episode 42. So if you can hold on
I
until
have
then,
to check that.
yeah, check out. I'm in episode 42.
That's crazy that you can say exactly which
Well, it's
episode.
because that's the only scene that I'm in. And what was nice was at the premiere, I was able to get a few good laughs and a few good like. It's like yes, make that. That was the other thing too, is that I started adding a lot of accents to my characters because I would just ask the director. I'm like, can I just give this guy an accent? I literally the way I did that was, I'm like, can I just give this guy a German accent? And he just shrugged his shoulders and said, fine, do it.
Oh, then I have to check what your German accent was.
Well, have you seen my accent reel? Have you seen my accent reel?
No.
Oh, my accent reel is on my Instagram, and a German accent is in there.
Oh,
And I
I will
actually
check
have
that.
two accents, but the second one is more of a, I call it the young Frankenstein German accent,
The
where
young
it's more.
Frankenstein
Yes, because it sounds like this, like not to the good people of this village, Herr Doctor.
You know, it depends in which part of Germany you are, because here
Exactly.
we have so different dialects.
Oh,
I'm
yes.
speaking Swabian. I live
Great.
near to Bavaria and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, it's always a little different. Well, the same thing with southern accents. Like it's like you do a southern US accent. I'm like, okay, do you want Alabama? Do you want Texas? Do you want Mississippi? Do
I
you want
can all.
Tennessee? Do you want Missouri? They're all different.
Yeah, that's a dive off. Last question, which genre you want to see more in verticals, or maybe new genre?
I want a new genre that I'm sort of pioneering, which is kind of the supernatural, not werewolves or vampires, but a little more magic as well. Let's do some sorcerers or witches or warlocks.
I
Or actually,
spoke to Abigail Stanton, and we agree both that we need a total witch story with a witch clan.
they've done a few witch stories, but like they need to really lean into them. The other one I'm working on is, so we have werewolves as kind of like lords of the night and stuff like that. I don't know if I should be spoiling, but I had the idea of like, okay. And they did these for a very, very brief time. They did lions. I'm like, well, why not do that with where with them as like sun gods?
Oh, yeah. What about a parody one?
I'm waiting for them to do parody ones. I am under the impression, by the way. The other one I would love for them to do, they need to do like murder mysteries.
Yes, criminal cases.
I am somewhat told. I'm not told anything, but I believe a murder mystery one is being filmed as we speak.
Yeah,
But I don't
I heard this rumor also.
think about. Well, and then the other one is I would love to hear a pirate one. And apparently a pirate one is they've
They are
got the script
filming a pirate one at the moment.
on right now, but I don't know who the cast is. I don't know who's filming,
Nick Westaway
who I've never met, sadly.
is the lead, and Karen Smolinski is actually at the set because she posted a lot in her Instagram stories lately
Who
about the pirate one.
rather tragically, I've also never met. So
Did you see the trailer of the pirate one they are filming?
I think I saw the trailer for that, but that was quite a while ago.
Yeah, it dropped roundabout at the end of August.
That's why I remember it, but I
And they
but
had
you know,
first filmed, I think, the first 10 episodes or stuff like that, and now they are filming the rest.
well, and we've got the fencing ones. Let's do like a musketeer one. Let's do like a royal musketeer.
Oh, that would be great.
That would be fun. It's not that the costumes are
Oh,
easy. They've got the sword fighting, and I mean, we just kind of. I wish I had a more tactful way of saying this, but I mean, we give them a few European accents, and
that would be great, the Three Musketeer ones.
this. Oh, by the way, this was so funny. This is one of the funniest quotes I've ever heard when it comes to acting. When I was in college, I tried out for the Three Musketeers. Didn't make it, but someone in my school did get it. And they said they were asking, I'm like, okay, are you guys gonna do a French accent? And the director was like, absolutely effing not. And they asked, why? Why? Said, you're gonna do British. Because a bad British accent sounds like a bad British accent. A bad French accent just sounds bad.
French accent sounds always nice because Le France sounds so
Is a
lovey-dovey accent.
beautiful language, is it not? Is it very beautiful? Is very fine. Yes.
Yeah, it's true. It's
That
true.
would be great actually to do like a musketeer one. And we again, I fun. The nice part with that is that again, you've got the court dynamics, you've got Rome, you've got partying that you can throw in there.
Yeah.
So itself. Well, if you got
That's
good,
good.
yeah.
So we need a sportive one overseas and a second one with maybe a criminal case or a musketeer one.
I would throw honestly, and I'm gonna say, I say, throw the sports one in the back. I want to do the,
Okay.
I want to do like, I want to be detective, the murder mystery, or I want or the musketeer one more because that would be just really, really
I
fun.
spoke with Kirby Elwood and we
Yes.
agreed that we are film because she also wants to film in Europe so badly.
I thought she's filmed in Europe before, but I guess not.
No.
Oh, I've worked.
No.
Oh, would you like to hear a story with Kirby? So Kirby was the one I did the Return of the Hidden Chef Goddess. So I actually met her doing Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights in 2023.
Yeah.
So she was in Ellie. We were both in The Last of Us. She Ellie, I was a Joel, but we worked opposite shifts, and we
Oh, okay.
had not worked with each other until the Chef Goddess one.
No, and the episode with Kirby dropped lately, and she told me in there that she, all of her friends were in Europe for shooting, and she not, and she wants to go there so badly. So we claimed, because she wants also some mystery and case like that. So we had the idea, listen, we will do a mystery criminal vertical series. One in filmed in Italy, one in Scotland, one filmed in Germany, one in Lithuania, and the male lead and the female lead are always the same, and the cast
Oh,
changes
yeah.
every different country, and in every different country they have to solve a criminal case, a new one.
Yeah, that's great. That's I mean that's the Knives Out, that's the Knives Out stuff, and that's there's another character I'm completely blanking on the name. Whoever did a Murder on the Nile. Whoever did Murder on the Nile, that's the same one.
Yeah,
It's
and the thing is, Matt Macedo, the director, also wants to shoot in Europe. And
Yay.
I spoke with Danny Farber, and he said, yeah, he had the connections for doing this one in Turkey, so he wants to direct this one in Turkey and plays in the other one in a cast also. So
Yeah.
it's all in the head, it's all there.
All there, it just has to get on that. But no, I would love
We
Bowman.
just have to win the lottery jackpot
I know. Well, I would
to
love
realize.
if that was my honestly, if that was like my first lead to play a detective like that and to be able to play it multiple times. That's the other thing, by the way, that a lot of actors are craving. A
Yeah.
lot of them want sequels.
Yeah.
So many of them want sequels.
And only Candy Jar is doing it at the moment.
Well, and the thing with sequels that I like is that, first of all, it gives the actors a chance to return to roles.
Yeah.
Let's face it, a lot of villain vertical, a lot of villains and verticals don't die. So there, and there's a lot of times their assistants don't die either. Their assistants don't die. Their family members don't die. So they're still out
And
there.
there are so many verticals with shitty cliffhangers at the end.
Well, and that is another part where I think that we need to work on nailing the ending.
Yes,
Nailing the
absolutely.
ending.
Yeah, we see. We
We'll
have
see.
to improve a bit. But
Yes,
now
we do.
we are nailing this episode, and I thank you so much for taking your time, Evan. It was such a pleasure talking to you.
I had so much fun. Thank you so much.
And I can see what I can do with the overseas
Please do.
criminal, you know. I keep you in mind. If I ever win the lottery jackpot, I told Kirby already, I will send her the two emojis of the money back and the detective emoji. And if I will send you this also, you know what time it is, what to do.
Yes. Well,
Okay?
love. Wouldn't I love and shine well as a sort of eccentric detective?
Yeah, why
That's what
not?
I. That's the last thing I'm going to say is like, the type of characters that I would love to play are just a little more off. They're not always these stoic, calm, dominant bad guys. It's like, you know, it's like, oh yes, this would be. or it'd be a case of like, sir, it's like, sir, the deputy's been murdered. Ooh, finally, things are getting interesting.
You could be also a murderer in the criminal series.
Yes, but the murder's only. It would have to be a surprise, though. I want a surprise one.
You could be the lovely brother of one of the detectives who turns out in the end to be the murderer.
Mm. Or a crime lord that's actually totally innocent.
Yeah,
that's a fun one.
We will get this. I keep you informed if anything happens like that.
Thank you.
So thanks, Evan, and I wish you a lovely weekend. Bye.
Bye.
This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.